Hello, welcome to our worship stream today. I'm Gabriel, lead pastor of Grace Communion Richardson. Here at Grace Communion Richardson, we seek to know Jesus and to make him known through worship, through family fellowship, through neighborhood engagement, all compelled by the love of God abundantly expressed in Jesus Christ. You are welcome to join us, and we do welcome your prayer requests. If you have any prayer requests, please feel free to send them to us. The address to send them to is on your screen. And we will also welcome your comments. We, as Grace Communion Richardson, are a diverse community, and we value our diversity, not only ethnically, but also in the various ways that God has gifted us. And yes, we see diversity as a gift from God, diversity in unity as a gift from God. We are currently in the process of planning to go back to in-person worship in a safe manner, and at the same time to also remain online. Now, we will let you know once our final decisions are made as to dates and whatnot. So please join us in prayer about that we will be able to get everything as properly situated as necessary so that we can do so. That is, go back to a safe in-person worship while at the same time remaining online. As already said, as a church congregation, we have our identity in Jesus. We have our identity in Jesus Christ. We started, last Sunday, I started to share who we are as a congregation with our identity in Jesus Christ. Today, we are going to continue. I'm going to continue on that series on our identity in Christ as a church. I will be sharing messages going forward about who we are in Jesus and how that informs our unity in diversity, our relationships of love, and our sharing life together as children of God. We will talk about our values, our vision, our mission, and our hopes for the future. And I hope that you will join us on this journey as we learn what it means together to have our identity in Jesus Christ. Right now, I would ask you to join our praise team as they share a praise song with us. And after that, we'll have prayer from Mike and the scripture reading from Joe. I will say a brief word of thanks for your financial generosity to our gospel effort, and then I'll come back for the main message. Please stay with us.
Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us today. Psalm 103:1 says, "Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name." Join.
Our holy, wonderful Father in heaven, we come before you to praise you and to thank you, to offer our blessings upon your name, and to ask you to bless these services, that they glorify you and your plan and provision for our congregation. Thank you that we are a diverse congregation that has Jesus as a center and foundation of our lives and service, and that we always remember and share that relationship with others. We pray for your protection and safety for the young people, parents, teachers, administrators, maintenance personnel as school reopens. We beseech you to comfort and heal those affected by the coronavirus as well as the other ailments that affect them. And we pray that you will destroy this virus and this plague that has affected the whole world. We know that you see the violence and destruction in the cities, and that you are sovereign over all. We pray that those inclined to violence and destruction will have a change of heart, and that they will turn to you from the destruction and the violence which has hurt so many, and become builders that showcase your love for all. Jesus came not to condemn the world, but to save it. We pray to honor you and seek your will. And we ask this in the name of our good shepherd, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Happy Sunday, everyone. Our main scriptures today are from the book of John. John 17, verses 1, 2, and 3. Jesus prays to be glorified. After Jesus said this, he looked up toward heaven and prayed, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. John 13, verses 34 and 35. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another.
Thank you to Mike and Joe for the prayer and the scripture reading. And also thank you to our praise team for the praise song. I also want to say thank you to all of you at Grace Communion Richardson and our supporters and those of you out there who share our values for your generous financial support throughout these difficult and challenging times. We are grateful to you not only for your financial support but also for your prayers. Your financial support, they are tax deductible. And if you want to know how you can support our gospel effort, you can see the number of ways that you can do so on the screen. We thank you so very much. Welcome again to our continuing series that is entitled We Are GCR, that is, We Are Grace Communion Richardson, Our Identity in Christ. This is the second part on this particular subject of our identity in Christ. And I'm glad that you've joined us to continue on this journey of sharing with you who we are as a church in Jesus Christ. At Grace Communion Richardson, we claim our identity in Christ Jesus as our primary identity. It is that identity that informs all of our other identities as individuals and as a body. It is what informs all of our relationships. It is what illuminates and motivates who we are and all that we do. All that we seek to do and all that we are actually doing are motivated by our identity in Jesus Christ. So what does having our identity in Jesus Christ mean? And I want us to look at the answer to that question today, as last time I shared part of that. Today I want to highlight certain important aspects of what it means to have our identity in Jesus Christ. When I talk about us as a church having our identity in Jesus, I want you to realize that we all as humans have been called to share in that identity. Okay, so I am not talking something about exclusivity, no. Having our identity in Jesus is not exclusive to us as Grace Communion Richardson. It is part of what God's intention and best life entails for all of humans to have our identity in Jesus Christ. Let's look at what having our identity in Jesus means by first looking at some of what Jesus says in John 17, John the 17th chapter, and verses 1 to 3. Now, there's a little bit of a background to this particular passage. Jesus is speaking here and had been speaking for quite a while in preparation for his crucifixion. He was spending quite a bit of time with his disciples. And in the Gospel according to John, it starts from chapter 13. So from chapter 13, we see a concentrated time that Jesus spends with his disciples. And he pours himself out to them, as it were, preparing their minds and their hearts for passion and for Calvary. And he shared a lot of things with them, including what is come to be known as the Last Supper, including washing their feet and telling them that he is a servant and his people are supposed to have a servant leadership model just like himself and so on. So Jesus has been sharing quite a bit with the disciples. In chapters 14, 15, 16, he talks about the fact that he was not going to leave them alone. He wasn't going to leave them by themselves. He wasn't going to leave them as orphans. And he introduces the Holy Spirit to them. He was trying to encourage them to know that he, as the incarnate Son of God, will still be present with them through the Holy Spirit. And so, having said all of these things, in the last few verses of chapter 16, for example, verse 33 of chapter 16, before we get into chapter 17, you have to remember, in the Greek, there were no chapters and verses like the way we have them in English. So there's a continuous flow. In verse 33, the 16th chapter of John, Jesus said this, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." So Jesus was encouraging his disciples and by extension us, because we, like the disciples, are still in this world. And Jesus tells us to take heart because he has overcome the world and he gives us his peace. And then he goes on to chapter 17 and he says, after Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed. So after speaking to the disciples, chapters 13, 14, 15, and 16, we come to chapter 17, and who is Jesus speaking to now? Jesus is speaking to the Father in heaven by prayer. Jesus is praying now to the hearing of his disciples. He was having a conversation directly with God the Father. And so in verse 1, John the 17th chapter, we read Jesus praying, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him." Now, to glorify, what does that mean? Well, to glorify, Jesus will, you know, later on say, "Glorify me with the glory that I had with you, that I shared with you." To have glory is to have a state of being that is perfect, a state of being that is powerful, a state of being that is light, a state of being that is radiant, right? And Jesus is saying, and of course, it's a state of being that is of loving, joyous relationship. It's a state of being that is full of joy in relationship of love. That's glory. And so Jesus says, "I want the fullness of what I shared with you before I incarnated as flesh." Because he is anticipating Calvary here, friends. And he's praying to the Father, "I'm looking forward to coming back to be with you." Right? "To share in the glory that I had with you." Verse 3. "Now, this is eternal life." For verse 2, he said that he had come and that he came with the authority of the Father to give eternal life to all those that God had given to him. And in verse 3, he says, "Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Those are some very powerful words here, friends. Jesus is saying here that the beginning phase, the entrance of having our identity in Him, is knowing Him. And this knowing Jesus is a relational knowing, and it is also eternal, and as such, it is eternal life. It is a knowing that does not end. That's why it's eternal. And it's a knowing that is in the context of life. Obviously, you can't really know someone if they're dead and there is no interaction. So it's eternal life, that the knowing that Jesus is talking about here is about. Having our identity in Jesus, friends, starts with accepting His invitation to know God through Jesus. This is eternal life, He said, that they may know God, the only true God, and Jesus whom God, the true God, has sent. To know is to have a relationship. It is not superficial. In fact, in the Bible, when to know is used, invariably, more often than not, it is talking about intimate knowledge. It's talking about a degree of intimacy that is without any inhibitions, without any secrets. It's a penetrating, or if you like, an interpenetrating knowledge, relational knowledge. That is what Jesus is talking about here in His prayer. So, to know God through Jesus is to accept eternal life, and it is to have a relationship with God through Jesus. And we cannot have a relationship with God except through Jesus. And in fact, we would not know God except He is revealed in and through Jesus Christ. And so to know God revealed in Jesus is to have a growing, intimate relationship with Him. It is to know and to trust who God is. That's what I mean by intimate, without secrets, a deep trust that is engendered in that relationship of love. It is to know who God is and whose we are in this knowing. And so when we at Grace Communion Richardson say that our desire, our vision, our motto is to know Jesus and to make Him known, we're talking about a loving, growing, intimate, trust relationship with Jesus, which then defines how we see ourselves and how we see other people. Because knowing Jesus, friends, is knowing yourself. Because Jesus reveals who you are to you. It is to be born from above in that sense. To have to accept and to enter into this knowing relationship is what is also described by John in John chapter 3 as being born again or born from above. It is to be adopted into the relational family of God as Paul describes it. The Apostle John uses the metaphor of birth, and the Apostle Paul uses the metaphor of adoption. Either of them, and both of them, are talking about a familial relationship that God is engendering, creating in, with, and through Jesus Christ. And that is made possible by His Spirit. It is the Spirit of God that makes us His children, as we say yes to the invitation to know Jesus and to know God through Jesus. And so to accept the invitation to know God through Jesus in a loving relationship initiated by the Holy Spirit is to become a relational child of God. And it is to begin then to accept the identity of Jesus Christ. That's what it means to be a child of God, is to accept the identity of Jesus Christ in relationship. We all are children of God by creation. All humans are. However, God then takes a step further and says, I invite you to be my child in relationship. Being children of God by creation is without choice. It is what is. We did not have any say in that. By virtue of us being born and being human and being created in the image of God, we are children of God by creation. However, God then extends an invitation to us to become His children by loving relationship in Christ Jesus through the power of His Holy Spirit. That occasions a choice. We can choose to accept that invitation or not. That's where free moral agency comes in. And so God in Christ extends this invitation to us and says, look, I want to include you in the family that I am creating. I want to include you in the family that I am making. I want you to be part of this loving relationship of joy in Christ Jesus. And when we say yes, friends, then we are saying yes to the identity of Christ. Who He is, we say yes to. How He is, we say yes to. We accept who He is and what He stands for. We accept what He says and what He commands. That's what it means when we say He's Lord. That's what it means when we say that He is Master. That's what we mean when we say He is King of our lives and of our hearts, right? So all humans are God's children by creation. However, God invites us to be His children by loving relationship through His Son and by His Spirit. We read this in John chapter 1. Just so you know, I'm not making this up. In John chapter 1 and in verse 12, it says, yet, I'm breaking into the thought here of what John has been describing. If you start from verse 1, John chapter 1, he's talking about the fact of the divinity of Christ, the divinity of the Word, who became flesh in verse 14, right? In verse 12, it says, yet to all who did receive Him, and of course He said earlier that this Word who became flesh and who is light and whose life is our light, so to speak, was not accepted by the people around Him when He came. And then John says in verse 12, yet to all who did receive Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Children, verse 13, born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. That's what we call born from above, or, generally popularly used, born again. It's better translated, born from above. So, we have the incredible privilege of not only being children of God by creation, but also children of God by loving relationship. If we choose that and say yes to that, right? And when we choose that and say yes to that, we are choosing then to have our identity in this second Adam, in Jesus Christ, so that we move from our identity in the first Adam, which is fleshly, which is physical, and enter into our identity in the second Adam, Jesus, which is spiritual, which is of heaven. So to have your identity in Christ is to know and accept Christ, to be a new creation in Him, to accept Jesus as the ideal image of God's best life for you, accepting His life in your heart and mind through His Spirit, and living out what He says and stands for, accepting Him as your brother and friend, Lord and Master, and King of your life as His disciple, and joining Him, Jesus, in making other disciples. In a nutshell, that's what sharing in the identity of Jesus entails. That's what we mean when we say we have our identity in Christ. So, I want to share now four primary ways that identity in Christ manifests itself in our lives as individuals and as a church. These are ways that we are allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us in and through. These are ways that we are yielding to the Spirit of God to transform us into and to lead us into. And the first is that to have our identity in Christ is to share His nature and values of love. God is love. And anyone who shares in God's identity revealed in Jesus Christ shares in that nature and values of love. In John chapter 13, and in verses 34 to 35, I'm not going to turn there. It's a fairly popular scripture that Jesus shared with His disciples. It says, "A new commandment," in verse 34, "I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you." So the standard of love, friends, is not just our own selves, which was the primary standard before Jesus. The highest form of love is to love someone like you love yourself. So you say, love your neighbor as yourself, for example. Jesus tweaked that a little bit and says, a new commandment, and the newness is in that twist. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. How? Not just as yourself, but as I, Jesus, have loved you. Jesus is our primary standard. Jesus is our measure. Jesus is the ultimate guide. And so the way He loves is the way that we want to love. And we recognize that on our own, we cannot even really do that. And so, hence, the Holy Spirit in us does this, that transforms us into this nature and values of love. And then in verse 35, he says, by this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you love that way, if you love the way that I do. That is what it means to begin to know me, to begin to know God, as we read in John chapter 17. So to know Jesus is to enter into His nature and values of love in relationship, and to allow that to extend to others, as we are told in John chapter 13 and verses 34 to 35. The other thing I want to highlight is that to have the identity of Jesus is to share in Jesus's incarnational, Trinitarian, and response-oriented mindset. To have the mind of Christ is to have an incarnational, Trinitarian, and response-oriented mindset. In Philippians chapter 2 and in verse 5, again, I'm not going to turn there, Paul exhorts all of us, encourages all of us by saying, let this mind be in you. And we talked a little bit about that last time when we were reading Romans chapter 12, where he said to not conform to the pattern of this world, but to have our minds what? Renewed. And the way the mind is renewed, Paul explains in Philippians 2 and verse 5, is to have the mindset of Jesus. You know, we've all heard of heart transplants. The Bible also refers to, metaphorically speaking, I'm saying, a mind transplant. To exchange one's mind, the natural, for Jesus's, the spiritual. That is what having the mind of Christ entails. And that mind of Christ, I'm saying, is incarnational. And I spoke a little bit about this as well last time. I explained what incarnational, Trinitarian, and response-oriented means. And I'm going to just say very briefly again. Incarnational means to be present with us. So God with us, Emmanuel. God incarnate means God being with us. In this instance, in Jesus, in the flesh with us, as he came down, lived amongst us, loved on us, and served us sacrificially all the way to the cross at Calvary. That is being present. That is being incarnated. And so to be incarnational, as the mind of Christ means, to be present. And the Trinity are present with each other. Father, Son, and Spirit are present with each other. And through Jesus, the Father, the Trinity, is present with us. And when we share in the mind of Christ, then we want to be present back with God through Christ. And we are able to be present with each other also through Jesus Christ. We're able to share in Jesus' response of presence with God and with one another. It is his mind we're talking about after all, not ours. And Trinitarian just means God is Father, Son, and Spirit. That means God is the first community. Another way of saying it is that God is the first persons or individuals in community. That means God is not just for number one. God is for others as well. God in the Trinity, they care for one another. And that is manifested in the third mindset. And that is what I refer to as response-oriented. Response-oriented means that the Trinity is responsive to one another. The Father is responsive to the Son to the Father, and they are responsive to the Spirit. And the God, Father, Son, and Spirit are responsive to their creation as well. In fact, it is this response orientation of Father, Son, and Spirit that manifested in God sending his Son to rescue us. And so to have the mind of Jesus is to have a responsive heart. To have a heart that cares. It is how the nature of love and the values of love that God are expressed, manifested, and we share in that, and we are responsive to each other, right? When you have a relationship with someone and you feel like you're not being heard, it's not very pleasant. When you have a relationship with someone and you feel like there is no response to what you are saying, it's not very, very not very pleasant, right? We are beings that I was going to use the word crave being heard and being responded to. That's the nature of God, really, in the loving way. Now, sometimes our craving for being heard and being responded to is selfish. It is not loving. We're talking about a response orientation that flows out of the nature of love that God is and has called us to share in. And so to have his mindset is to have this response orientation, to feel for others, to be responsive to others, whether in their need or in their abundance. And so scripture tells us about mourning with those who mourn and rejoicing with those who rejoice. That's being responsive to others. The third manifestation of our identity in Jesus is that we share his life and his mission and ministry of love. That is to say, this responsiveness of Jesus, this loving nature of Jesus, shows itself out in his purpose, in his will, and also in his acts of service. Ministry simply means service. And so we share in Christ's service. We share in Christ's ministry. We share in Christ's purpose. We share in Jesus' will. That's part of being or sharing in his identity. And in John chapter 17, the same John 17 that we started with, in verse 18, let me turn there. In John chapter 17, verse 18, Jesus talks about this. In verse 18, he says, still praying to the Father, he says, as you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. That means he's inviting us to share in the ministry, in the mission that God gave to him, right? And then in verse 20 and 21, he says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. So, Jesus here is saying to be in his identity, to share in his identity, to be in Christ is to share in his mission and ministry of love. Just as God sent him, he invites us to participate in what he is doing. And we'll read the same thing in Mark chapter 10 and verses 42 to 45. Mark 10, verses 42 to 45. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 17 to 21. Mark is referring to the fact that Jesus' nature is one of servant leadership. The nature of love is one of servant leadership. So in Mark, Jesus was telling his disciples, you shouldn't be like the Gentiles who lord and domineer over others. Dominate over others. No, rather you should be like me, a servant, but because I did not come to be served, but to serve. Anyone who wants to be great, Jesus says, must be the servant of all. That's my economy. That's my nature. That's how I roll, he says. That's in Mark chapter 10. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verses 17 to 21, he says, look, I am inviting you to join me in the ministry and message of reconciliation. I believe in unity in diversity, Jesus says. And I've called you to join me in that identity. To recognize that diversity is a gift and that we can work together and complement each other in a reconciled lifestyle that promotes growth, that promotes love, that promotes harmony, and that is unifying. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 to 21. To have the identity of Jesus is to join him in that ministry of reconciliation, of learning how to say we are sorry, how to forgive, how to share our hearts, how to have frank and truthful and loving conversations, even if they are difficult conversations, how to seek to gain one another rather than to lose one another. That's all part of this value of love that Jesus has called us to share. And of course, in the earlier verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he talks about being new creation. Is there anyone in Christ? Verse 14, Paul was inspired to write. He is a new creation. We've talked about that already. When you accept that invitation to know Jesus, to have a loving relationship with him, there is transformation. There's a newness. You pass from the old Adam, the first Adam, to the new second Adam, who is Jesus. And it's a new creation. And that new creation is one of reconciliation, not one of hate, not one of harping on differences rather than seeing the common ground. But seeing differences not just as a way of separating, but seeing differences as a gift that can complement and that we can share with each other in a way that grows us up, that edifies us, builds us up as human beings. And then finally, to have our identity in Christ is to live out Jesus' commandments. That kind of sums it all up. To have our identity in Christ, friends, is to live out what Jesus commands. In Mark chapter 12 and in verse 30 to 31, that's a summary of Jesus' command about love. Mark chapter 12. Let's read that. In Mark chapter 12 and in verse 30. Someone came to ask Jesus, say, hey, of all of the commandments that we have in Scripture, which is the most important? That was what this person asked Jesus. One of the teachers of the law, actually, the lawyer who was asking Jesus that. Jesus answered in verse 29, and I am jumping down to verse 30. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. So that's a command that Jesus says we should be living out. To love God with all of our hearts, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength. And he says the second is like the first. Love your neighbor as yourself. And of course, he later on said, no, I'm making a new commandment. Love others as I have loved you, in John chapter 13 that we read. In Matthew chapter 28, another command. That's another summary command. In Matthew chapter 28 It is called, the one about love I just read in Mark is generally referred to as the Great Commandment, right? What I'm about to read now in Matthew 28 is generally referred to as the Great Commission. In Matthew 28, in verse 18, Jesus said to his disciples, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So, to have our identity in Christ as a congregation, as Grace Communion Richardson, is to obey these commandments, is to love God with all of our hearts, all of our mind and soul, all of our strength. It is also to make disciples as Jesus has commanded. So I've shared four important ways that having our identity in Jesus manifests themselves. One is that we share in his nature and his values of love. Two, that we share in his incarnational, Trinitarian, and response-oriented mindset. Three, that we share in his life and mission and ministry of love. And then four, we live out all of his commandments to us. And all of these four things, friends, brothers and sisters, we are able to engage only through the Holy Spirit. Only through the Holy Spirit. So the question is, are you interested in inheriting and sharing the ideal life for you that God gifts to you in Jesus Christ? To have your identity in him, the only guarantee of eternal life, of love and joy. I pray you do. That's what we, Grace Communion Richardson, are about, because we recognize that Jesus is the core of what it means to be alive. He is the core, the center of all that is meaningful, all that is valuable. And we find our identity in him. And we find our journey to know him and to make him known. And I hope that is something that you say yes to as well. I pray that you do. Next time, I will share what our values are flowing from our identity in Jesus as a church, as I explain what it means for us to accept and share in Christ's ideal life for us, and our desire to share that with you, with your family, with your loved ones and friends, because we believe in Jesus. And as a result, we don't have to do life alone. Neither should you. I look forward to seeing you next time as we journey together to know Jesus and to make him known, sharing his love and his hope to a world and a nation that desperately needs it. Let's conclude today's worship with a praise song from our worship team, and I will see you next time. God bless.
Your love, let the whole world see, let the whole world see. From there to here.